Hi, and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is a sometimes podcast, sometimes video channel, depending on where you encounter it, where myself, Glenn Ford, and this guy, Mike Hutchinson, talk about designing, hopefully, better miniatures games. So today, we're going to have a little conversation about something that sort of ties in with what we were talking about last time, sort of ludonarrative dissonance, and is an idea that crosses over a little bit with some other areas of like video game design concepts, but isn't quite the same in tabletop games. So I'll start explaining, because otherwise sort of talking around it's going to get really weird and theoretical.
You're right.
So in tabletop games, I think it's easier to sort of refer to these ideas as information which is given intrinsically to the nature of the game, and information which is offered extrinsically. It relates slightly to something that you might get in things like video game design and movies. They refer to as diegetic or non-diegetic information. And what I mean by that is sort of there's some information that you in the world that you're experiencing in a game should have offered to you. And there's some information that maybe you shouldn't have access to if you're actually being that character that you're portraying. But the game has to give to you to allow you to operate it effectively. So in video games, it's sort of the line is referred to as diegetic and non-diegetic information, where the stuff that your character should experience, because like they've got a backpack they can look into so they know how many apples they've got, is one thing, versus why do they know that they're exactly one punch away from being dead, or, you know, their exact health levels or the progress of a virus that's spreading through their body. That sort of doesn't make sense unless they've got like med scanners on. And some games deal with trying to give you that in a more organic fashion. So the point is, for tabletop games, I think, miniatures provide us with a lot of intrinsic and what would be diegetic information were we the general looking at a tabletop. So for example, you've got a unit of miniatures. You can tell at a glance, if they're single wound miniatures, which direction they're facing in, how many wounds they're taking, what their sort of fighting status is. And in fact, you can walk past tabletops as an observer and get a good idea of how far along that game is, what the relative sort of strengths and weaknesses of the sides are, who seems to be winning, where in the end game it is progressing to. And this is all information that is offered to us like intrinsically by just the miniatures that we're looking at on the tabletop.
It is, although the perspective is interesting because we've the godlike Olympian perspective on that. So a truly sort of in universe, because what you're talking about sort of makes me think of Fog of War things, like a truly kind of from the eye line of a miniature, like you might not have that perspective to be able to understand that. But I see what you mean. Like there are affordances with miniatures which allow you to communicate quite a lot of game state without some off table UI or tokens or.
Absolutely. And I think the interesting point and the bit that I want to sort of have a bit of a conversation about is those bits which we take as assumed information that we should have access to and we should be provided by our opponent, which are in no way sort of would make sense diegetically. And I mean, obviously you've got the whole thing of, you know, fog of war and line of sight, and we're kind of often stuck with the fact that I can see things that maybe I shouldn't be able to see. Although I think
there's an argument that line of sight is the most diegetic of all pieces of information in any tabletop game.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to that thing we were talking about with ludonarrative dissonance as to who am I? Why do I have my line of sight as opposed to, well, if that model over there is the general, why don't I have his line of sight at all points? And can we
see and then why in sci-fi games is everyone still worrying about line of sight when everyone's got the thing, the scanner thing from Aliens?
Absolutely. We have roughly the same level of communicating information between troops in ancient, games set in ancient historic as we do in games set in the far and distant future, which is totally insane because it's
see earlier episode about unreliable troops.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think so. For example, if I'm playing a game and I want to know the strength or the toughness of your troops, the assumption is I should just be able to ask you, and you absolutely should have to answer honestly, and efficiently the statistics of your.
Which team. Immediately makes me think of the way that my dear late father-in-law used to play. Shadows over Camelot, where you aren't allowed to share direct information with your co-players. Obviously, it's cooperative, apart from a traitor. And so he just came up with this ludicrous language of not communicating specifically using words like "I have a five in my hand," but being like, "It is of." Four strong day of, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sort of cod medievalism to apparently get around the communication rules. But I think I think it is a point that I can have a pinpoint accurate judgment about the strength, the toughness, the equipment that your units are carrying, which is excessively inaccurate to sort of what information I should have available at that point.
Or what information each of the miniatures that is presumably making a decision at a specific time about where to point their weapon and whether to pull the trigger, what information they would have available.
Or me as the general, me as that individual, the presumption of these games is that I should be able to ask you your stats and you have to tell me accurately. And obviously, if you choose not to, there should be a reference book I can go to and be like, well, that's a bit rude of you. Give me a minute.
Yeah.
Right, that's his stat because it's written in that reference book right there. Thank you very much. Why did you make me have to bother to go to the book for it?
Which to our earlier conversation about complexity, you can solve that through games designed with complexity, like knowing all of the models in Warhammer 40,000 and all the special rules for all the weapons is basically impossible. So you can create that sort of information fog of war through that kind of thing. I imagine there's also a way of doing that with random scratch cards or randomly generated things where you don't have to reveal.
Yeah, I think certainly there's an option to create it depending upon the sort of complexity of your game. If it's a sort of thing of, each unit has a dice rolled for them for their strength at a certain point, and ogres get +3 to the dice and humans get +1 to the dice, and then they'll each have a strength score that isn't written down in a book somewhere, and then you don't have to reveal that to the other person until you hit them, and then you lift the cup off the dice and you go, well, that's their strength score.
Right.
That's a possible sort of clunky way of carrying that through. And I wonder sometimes it's like, is the feeling that we shouldn't have access to some of this information about exactly where a given unit's level of performance is why we feel inclined to sort of bring in things like psychology rules, because I think it's why
we use dice full stop, isn't it?
I think the thing is, to a degree,
I mean, there's a performative there's a diegetic performative uncertainty, but then there's also a situational uncertainty of we don't know exactly what the train's like, we don't know exactly what this person can see, we don't know exactly whether their ankle hurts at this exact moment.
Certainly it's like even games with dice do quite often have a this thing can't hurt that thing, like
that's
no matter
true.
What
yeah.
I understand that a general might well have access to the idea of there's no point firing that pistol at that tank, don't even bother, as well, the person carrying the pistol might do. But at the same time, you know, one pip higher, or the tank's taken a certain level of damage, and we start going, you know what, at this point, it's actually worth a few speculative pops at that tank, because I know exactly how much damage it has taken and exactly which systems have started to go out, and all those sorts of bits and pieces. And I feel like sometimes the fact that we feel like I shouldn't know like exactly how many more wounds you're dragon has to take before it goes down, and exactly the odds of me wounding the dragon, a part of the reason we feel like we should have something like psychology, we should have something like random breakpoints, we should have some of these things, because it's weird that we have so much access to so much information. And I wonder also
the health example I think is a super interesting one, because that is somewhere that, you know, You could have a critical hit system where you can't blow things up. You can only bring them to like increasingly high levels of probable critical explosion. And so you never know exactly when something's going to die, but you can nudge it in that direction. And it also makes me think of like the uncertainty of whether or not something is going to happen. It's like, it's a place where loveliness can happen, and randomness is a good way of getting that loveliness. But it's also a place where, you know, potentially there can be frustration, where it's like, well, I've done enough and I should be getting this result, but I'm not getting this result. The third place that my mind is wandering as well this is obviously a classic problem in role playing, where it's like the difference between what my character knows and what I as a player know is something that everyone's very super aware of, having to manage that dichotomy at the table. And so I guess I also wonder, like, is there anything to learn from the techniques and strategies that role-playing games use to separate player and character information that is at all transferable to these games, what we do?
Well, also, I think one of the big areas, and one of those areas for some people sort of controversial that relates to this, is pre-measuring distances.
Right.
And because I constantly go back and forth over how I feel about pre-measuring, and whether you should pre-measure and whether you shouldn't pre-measure, and it is sometimes a very sort of like depends on the situation, depends on the game.
Well, I think it depends very fundamentally on whether you are biasing towards a gamic experience or biasing towards a simulationist experience, because a lot of this practical certain information, you know, visible information or clear and opaque and transparent information, is because that's better for a head-to-head game environment, whereas it's maybe less good for a surprising storytelling-y, simulation-y thing, where you might want to put more of that uncertainty, more of that fog of war. Like this whole idea about, you know, trolls have a random number of wounds and a random strength based on whose army, like that feels like a very narrative sort of, you know, it makes it almost less crunchy from a game perspective, although of course, you know, maybe the game becomes, you know, knowing the spreads and making sure that you account for them in your strategies and stuff, but maybe it's a more gamic versus simulationist thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be random. It can be, you know, you have
it. I know, that was just a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and I think the thing of sort of, clearly throughout history there have been, you know, instances where charges have failed because people have eyeballed the distance and gotten it wrong. But equally there have been times where generals thought a certain unit could get to a certain point by a certain time in the day and they couldn't because it was further away than the general thought it was, or they were more tired than they're expecting. And it feels like, you know, I guess it's the thing of, if you let people pre-measure as to versus not pre-measuring, there's a degree of you're testing a different set of skills for people. Mm-hmm. If everything's is pre-measured, then we've got a quite sort of cerebral, I will always do what I intended to do that I was able to do, versus if we can't pre-measure, there's a little in between, a thing in between me and you, where sometimes I'll make the correct sort of strategic decision and it'll just turn out that you're better at judging spaces, you know, and spatial reasoning than I am, and that's what gives you the win.
I agree with all of that, and I think because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool pre-measure fan, like I think there's a physical performative element which in a non-discrete game just becomes really problematic in a non-discrete game that isn't a sport. Like with chess, okay, if I make a move, I touch it, I have to move it, like as soon as I leave my hand, like that's the thing, I've moved. The same is true in a non-pre-measuring game, because I can't take that back without, you know, some potentially quite large degree of error being introduced. And also, like, if I've got shaky hands or whatever, like I can't necessarily, like, I'm disadvantaged by the performative element of this non-discrete tabletop.
There's a fairly obvious elephant in the room about not you not being a fan of not being able to pre-measure, which is Gaslands. And the fact that you're not allowed to pre-measure in Gaslands, and the fact that if you do, the game specifically punishes you for having done it.
Right, but interestingly, that doesn't introduce any of the problems that I've just said, because it's pre-measuring, because every movement is with a movement template, which is reversible. So it's perfectly undoable in a way that...
Yeah, no, like, absolutely could allow you to pre-measure. It's one of the few games you could totally pre-measure in, and it would have no problems, and you would never, ever enter into a sort of it's impossible to reverse time situation.
Hmm.
And you like pre-measuring, but you didn't let people pre-measure in Gaslands. That's peculiar. I think it was the right...
Maybe I should revise my statement. I love pre-measuring in skirmish games. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's why I say I think that pre-measuring is the right thing for the right place, as a lot of the, you know, a lot of rules are.
So to sort of summarize where I think the nub of what you're driving at here for the general conversation is, I'll take it to a ludicrous extreme as a game design challenge. So the hypothetical challenge is, could you write a miniatures war game where the only information available to each player was broadly equivalent to the information available to the characters on the table? Like, is there some way of hiding all information that's not been discovered yet? You know, not just like, I don't know which magic item that champion is hiding, but like everything.
Yeah.
And then the sort of the more generalized, less hypothetical version of that is like, is there information that you should be holding back from the players? Because it's interesting to create a tension between what narratively the decision makers, the little tiny 28 mil decision makers could have access to, and what is, you know, player information exclusively.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think in general terms, you know, yeah, to ask some questions about which information what information you give players access to and why, you know, how much you try and limit their sort of godlike overview and their ability to sort of reverse time when it's convenient to them, whether it's worth considering hiding off bits of information which we've assumed we should have access to. Maybe not all of them, but maybe just one or two can create a more interesting and more sort of immersive, you know, ludonarratively sort of intertwined experience, where just once or twice go, oh, normally I'm always told that, but really I shouldn't have known it, and this game's keeping it from me. Oh, that's a fruity little pie that they're offering. Yeah, and like I say, to sort of consider in relation, tracking back to our conversation about miniatures agnosticism, it does make me think about if you do have a game that's very miniatures prescriptive, how much information you are offering with the visual sort of nature of the tabletop, and whether you can do interesting things with that, whether you can do interesting things about, have you done your homework and learnt your opponent's sort of abilities? Maybe there's a way of sort of saying, if you haven't read up, maybe you get punished for it. Maybe that's an alternative way of going with things.
There might be a whole other conversation about the miniature agnostic and prescriptive sort of opportunities there.
I think there's some interesting opportunities as usual with all of the conversations. But I think for now, we'll sign off on that little conversation about something to do with intrinsic information and non-intrinsic information or something. I'm not exactly certain what the correct terminology is for this one, but I think there's something there worth thinking about. If you have good terminology for this sort of semi-intrinsic, semi-diegetic thingamabob that we're talking about, please stop into the comment section.
Help us out.
Tell us, because I like to have words for things. When you pop down there, give us a like and subscribe on the assumption that you do like this. And if you don't, then hang you and all of your friends. Why not follow across into the Discord and have a conversation about, you know, designing a game that hides information that people would expect to know or reveals information that they don't. For now, though, I think that's going to be it from us on this conversation. So we'll say thank you and goodbye. So, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.